Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. You are a faithful Father. You are a good, good God. We thank you. And Father, as we get into your word, we ask that our eyes of understanding is further enlightened, that we are able to better appreciate your word, that we have that our resolve to do your will, to do your counsel, gets stronger, gets better in the name of Jesus Christ. That the understanding and the necessity and the importance of your word dawns on our mind like never before in the name of Jesus. Thank you, great and mighty Father. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so we've been talking about heralds, all right, and we're just going to be packing it, all right. Of course, we cannot finish talking about it for the rest of our lives. It's the task that Jesus gave us, all right, and for the rest of our lives, we will continue to talk about this topic, all right. But we've started it. We did a series like that, 2023, when we started, is on our website. We call it Soul Winning. You want to listen to that again, alongside with all of the heralds we've talked about, all right. We've taught as a church to make it a duty, okay, to remind ourselves of this task at least maybe every year, or you know, every 15 months, so that we don't lose track of it. Hallelujah. Very important. Praise God. But then as we pack it today, I just want to make us conclude or wrap it up on this note. In every endeavor in life that mankind walks in, we have some set of individuals who rise above each other, or above the other. Superstars, or that are high performers, all right, in their fields of work. In every endeavor, all right, every field of life, we have high flyers, we have high performers, we have people that excel in their field. Talk about football. Some folks, they will think, till tomorrow, maybe I cannot be facing you. Who is a footballer here? People still think Messi or Ronaldo, all right. Some will argue with you that it's Messi, okay. Another one will argue that it's Ronaldo. That's fine. All right, that's because, I mean, those are people that have applied excellence, all right, in the things that they do as footballers. And so in engineering, in hospitality, we have different awards, even in our offices, in every walks of life. Amen. Just as every field, pay attention, friends. Just as every field has got its own high flyer or celebrated performers. I'm going somewhere today with this thought. Christianity also has its own high performers. Christianity, all right, in the kingdom of God, in the sight of God, God has got those whom he celebrates. People that are so high performers, all right, in the sight of God, right? Christianity also has its own high performers. We can even call them the stars of Christianity. So if we're going to subtitle the message today, we can call it the stars of Christianity. The shining lights, all right? The champions of Christianity. Hallelujah. It's very important. Daniel chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel, each time we say Daniel, don't you feel that we're calling you? Praise God. But we're going to say Daniel, so you all know it. Daniel chapter 12. Praise God. Daniel chapter 12. Verse 3. Daniel chapter 12. Oh, thank you. Those, pay attention, friends. Let's read this together. We'll be around sharing God's word, sharing the gospel, and all. Now look at this. He says, those who are wise, he's talking about the wise folks, the intelligent people, all right? He says, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Look at it. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Did you see that? All right. So he's saying that those who are wise, meaning the wise ones amongst us, quote unquote, amongst us. All right? The stars of Christianity, what did he call those guys? He calls them those who turn many to righteousness. So, those who turns many to righteousness. So, in the sight of God, all right, Daniel prophesied this long time ago. Of course, they were doing it in his age, in his time as well, that those that are the ones that we recognize, the shining stars, the ones that rises up above all, they are the folks that are that will turn many to righteousness. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Let's look at it. Are we there? Look at it. It says, if, that's 31. Okay, look at it. It says, this fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now look at the last bit. And he who wins soul is wise. Now, we're coming from the angle today that there is an importance, there's a regard, all right, that God places on those who herald the gospel. Is that, am I getting that across very well? There is the wisdom, there is the star, there is the, all right, there is this regard and honor, all right, that God places on those who herald the gospel, who wins souls through the gospel of God, who converts many or people from darkness into the light of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I wrote something here that I want to read out. These ones, they are not stars because of a special advantage or because they are, or because they were looking for fame. No. Their championship is not because they've got a special ability, or they've got, you know, a special ability or some special powers or an advantage above another. No, it's not because they were really looking for fame or for or accomplishment or accolades. No, all right, it is because their lives so born, or they were born in for Jesus so brightly. They burned for the Lord Jesus so brightly, such that their lives illuminated others. They went about heralding, passing across the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're going to call anybody the stars of the kingdom of God, if you're going to call anybody the champions of the kingdom of God, if you're going to, as far as the Bible and as God is concerned, those that are superstars, those that are champions in God's analysis and assessment, they are not the politicians among us. They are not the engineers, though there's nothing wrong in being a politician, or there's nothing wrong in being an engineer, all right? They are not the husbands or the wives amongst us. They are not they are the soul winners. They are those that arouse the message of the kingdom of God. And when we arouse that message, it is to the end that we convert a soul. We said we don't convert a soul. It is to the end that we may present, a premises, all right, that may persuade others and turn them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear light. Hallelujah. In the sight of God, like I've said, God has a special honor on those who persuade men, all right, to turn from sin to righteousness and from darkness into the light and from evil to the righteousness that is in God. Why are we saying this? Why is this so important? We're going to read some more scriptures shortly. God has nothing. We've said it here. I'm just going to say it in a different way. God values nothing more in this earth than salvation. That's clear. All right? That the thing that God, again, it comes back to so many things we're doing here, that the things that God values the more, all right? The things that God values the more, the most, actually, the most, all right, is the salvation of the souls of men. what God values most, what is important, what is so important to him that will take him years of prophecy, years of planning, years of that Kairos moment, that point in time that his son will come, that people will be, that he will die, and what Jesus came for, the, that became the mission and the plan of God, all right, is the salvation of men, of souls. All right. So when you and I joins in that mandate, when you and I partner with God on in that mandate, in that mandate, then it is important to God. It makes you a superstar. It makes you someone that is important to the agenda of God. Hallelujah. I read that here. All right. So when a believer takes up this mandate, this responsibility, heaven does not seem as ordinary. I tell you what, friends, every other thing in this world, all right, they are ordinary. Every, talk about them. We've said they are things. They are just things, all right? And Bible says they perish with the using, all right? We don't take anything outside of here. No. No. Okay. No. No. All right? The things that are important is the salvation of men. Salvation of men. Very, very important. Very important. I feel like saying it more. Very important. Why? Because it is so important to God. Bible says, for God so loved the world. He so loved the world. He so loved the world. All right? And he gave everything at it. And he committed it to our hands. All right? And that when you and I joins and takes up that responsibility. We said last week, see, it's not a church activity. It's not like saying prayer or praying, you know, every morning or reading my Bible is a church activity. Then if my church is not reading the Bible, then I'll read the Bible. No. It is the believer's responsibility. It is your responsibility, my responsibility. Why? Because it is so important to God. God gave his all for this. Hallelujah. All right, so evangelism, soul winning is nothing ordinary. That when you pick up this responsibility, you become a co-laborer. You know, Jesus, we were called co-laborer. He said we are co-laborer. It means God is laboring and we are laboring with God. Or Christ is laboring, God is laboring, and we are laboring with him. He says we are co-laborers. All right. So when a man picks up this responsibility of evangelism, of heralding the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is doing what is so important to God. Very important to God. All right. It is the greatest work on this earth. Heralding the gospel. Heralding the gospel is the greatest work, the greatest endeavor, the greatest, you know, yeah, use of time, the greatest, you know, ambition, the greatest work on this earth, in the universe, simply because God gave us that duty. You know, as I was studying this, and I was just, you know, God didn't tell us actually go and get married. It's good to get married, get me right. He didn't say go and make money. All right? He didn't say go and become an accountant. All right? Though there's nothing wrong in all of those that I've said, we should go for it. All right, but what he told us to do is go and preach this gospel. He gave a clear-cut instruction. All right, he didn't just say preach. He says make disciples of them. All right, so you will teach. All right, and you will train men in how to handle the things of God. Very important. All right, so if I've given you a task, all right, so that means that when I come back, and I've told you I'm coming back, so what we've said last will be the basis to continue our conversation. Okay, I told you to, or we said, task ABC. Okay, so what have you done about that? You say, oh no, I've not done ABC. I've done XYZ. Well, we didn't talk about XYZ. We agreed, or well, we didn't agree. It was a command, actually. Go and preach the gospel. It makes for championship. It makes for relevance. It makes for importance in the sight of God. As we wrap up this our series today, all right, I want us wrap up pack. All right, this series today, I want us to be reminded of this holy, holy job. Let's see how the Bible refers to people that preach the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. You see, when we handle evangelism, we are handling the things that weighs most in the heart of God. Don't forget how we started. We said the stars, all right, the high performers, the superstars, all right, of Christianity. They are the people that go around winning soul, converting men, preaching the gospel, arousing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it. I want us to see. We're going to come back there, but I want to bring out a point. It says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written. Look at it now. That's the point there I want to bring out. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. It calls you beautiful. It calls those that are... So, can we say... Let's some people are ugly. You get the point. Okay? But then the point here is that it calls those that are preaching the gospel beautiful. It calls their faith beautiful. Bible refers to those that goes about the preaching of God's word as beautiful. Look at that adjective there. That qualifies people that preach the gospel. Let's read some more. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Luke 15, 7. All right? Because we must understand that arousing this gospel, the gospel of Jesus, all right, is what is so important to God. Very, very important to God. See again what happens. We're talking about the man that has gone to preach and the effect of it. Think about it. I say to you, likewise, there is more joy. All right? So there are categories of joy. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner. So it means that going about doing this brings joy to God. Think about that. Brings pleasure to God. Brings fulfillment. Brings satisfaction to God. You get the point, all right? So he says, when we go about preaching the gospel, winning souls, putting the message, God's word out there, he says that there is joy in heaven over one. What if when we are now millions, joy galore, joy unstoppable in heaven? Hallelujah. And I want us to be aware of this. Let this drive us. Let it drive us. Let it drive us. All right? That joy, beautiful, superstars, wisdom, those are the attributes that God, are given or attached to people who preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus. My challenge to us today is, what are you going to do about this? Because in my office, actually, when I see someone that is doing well, I want to get close to that person. All right? I want to know, how is he doing it? You're getting promotion every... Okay? I want to be challenged. All right? I won't say that, Ayo likes to pray. You believer, you are saying Ayo likes to pray, so you don't like to pray. Oh, okay. Oh, those ones like to go to church. Oh, and you are a believer. You don't like to go to church. Is that what you're saying? No. We should not be saying that about, that brother likes to pray. Or that brother knows a lot of... When I see a believer who prays, then I pick up the challenge. All right? Let me tell us this. When you see a believer, all right, that is doing well in the things of Jesus, you should not just be looking at him. No. He's setting an example for what all of us should be doing. Right? All of us. Don't say, that sister likes to pray. No. What about you? We were given the same command. Hallelujah. All right. So, everyone realizes those that takes it seriously. And what we should do is we should learn from each other. Honestly, that's how I've grown in my Christianity. I've told us once that when we were younger, we have some friends that they will read, we were told in church to read 5 chapters every day of the Bible. All right, we have a plan like we have. Actually, it's a carryover from my past churches and all. All right, so they say, okay, we call it word fast, but we're going to change it to word feast going forward. But then let's leave that. All right, but then so there's this sister. Her name is Adesola. All right, they've told us to read 5 chapters. That is, we go and read 7 chapters. How can you read 7 chapters? Now, the next Sunday that I'm coming, I want to be sure that I've read 10 chapters. Then I'll come, I read 10 chapters. I read all of Daniel and all of those. Then you read 10 chapters. Those were the competition. All right? Or I prayed 1 hour. You prayed 1 hour. Oh boy. All right? Those were the challenge. Those were how we challenged ourselves in the things of God. No, none of us then sat behind. Oh, okay. They were, no. No. You understand? All right? So what we are saying is that when you see people that are doing things, join on. Join in. All right? Because everyone regards what you're doing with honor. It brings joy to God. It brings pleasure to the Father. It is on this basis rewards will be shared. It is on this world God sees people as stars or as people of value in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I read something here again that I wrote. When you see people who win souls, who arouse the message, they are handling what weighs most heavily on God's heart. All right? Those are people that are handling the things that, you know, when something is so important to you, you know, God has got importance, things that are important to him. We've said it once, all right? We said, for God wills, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, he says, for he wills that all men be saved. Bible says that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, all right? He says that he desires that everyone repent, that nobody should perish. You know, he has that desire. So when you have a desire, oh, you know, when I order things from Amazon, for example, and they've told me it's going to come on the 22nd, and it's not coming, then I'm wondering, what's happening to my, I don't know, you know, because I have an expectation already. It may not be that important, but I was not, maybe I thought that I would use, you know, my desire has been triggered in that line already. So think about that. God has got a desire. His desire is for everyone, all right, to be saved. Everyone. He says, maybe we should read that. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let's read it. Second Peter 3, 9. I was just going to quote it and move forward. I want us to see that God desires that everyone comes to repentance. Second Peter 3, 9. Look at it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, all right? So, see, when you see willing, again, is a function of your will. It's something that you desire, not desiring, not willing that some people, no, anybody should perish. But what? But should come to repentance. And how are they going to come to repentance? You and I will preach to them. Somebody will pray for them. Somebody will disciple them. Somebody will show them the way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. These are God's heroes. Everyone celebrates these ones, all right? And these beautiful ones that always preach the gospel of Christ. Let's push it a little bit forward. What are we saying today? We're just talking to ourselves about the superstars of heaven. I want to encourage you to let's join that league. All right, you know, we taught ourselves here, we are saved, there's no doubt. We are in that house, there's no doubt. All right, Bible says that in the, you know, in a big house, all right, there are many vessels, some unto honor, some unto dishonor. All right, but you know what makes a man a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor is not God. All right, it's about that man. Bible says, if a man will now keep himself from these things, all right, Bible says he shall be a vessel unto honor. So it's the man's responsibility when who is now in the kingdom, he has now believed, he has the responsibility to put the duty, this divine duty, and take it up upon himself. He makes for honor, he makes for champion, he makes for regard in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Let's just do some more quick study, you know, about this as we just put it together today. Amen. The Christian life and service as a reward. Let's switch it from the superstars now and talk about the fact that our life as Christians, our services as Christians, okay, has got a reward. All right? And that reward is not material. Don't let's make that mistake that, when I have two cars or I have... No, it's not about what we have. The reward that we have for serving Jesus is not about material things. And you want to know those rewards? The rewards, all right? It's in people. It's in people. I'll take that again. Christian service has a reward and it's not material. Not cars, not houses, not earthly achievements. All right? In Christianity, we're going to read some scriptures now. In Christianity, men are the proof of ministry. The lives that we have touched with the gospel. The souls that we have won with the gospel of Jesus. People that we have discipled in the knowledge of Jesus. These are the crowns. These are the joy of the believer. These are the true evidence that a believer has served Jesus. These are the real evidence. The things that count. The thing when we say, in my account, all right? You know, what should be credited to your account apart from faith and righteousness upon believing should be souls. Men that we have prayed for. Men that we have preached the gospel to. People that we have discipled. I'm going to show that to us, in the Bible shortly. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Paul is a classic, all right, a classic, yeah, for us. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Look at it. He says, for what is our hope or joy? Pay attention. So the hope of the believer, what you excite the believer, the crown. You know, many times, when I get to heaven and we have crowns, and people have thought that crown is actually the crown that the king on this earth. That's not the crown. No. We're going to read now. Let's look at it. All right. For what is our hope or joy? Or crown of rejoicing. Meaning, what makes us rejoice? What's that excites us? All right? He says, is it not even you? Can you see the point? All right? He was telling the church in Thessalonica, all right? He says, are you not the one? You are our joy. You are our hope. Our crown of rejoicing. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? You don't see the point. All right, so the joy, what will be the joy of the believer? The joy that I'm serving, the joy that I'm praying, the joy that I'm serving the Lord. It should be men, people that are being trained, that are being discipled, souls that we are winning for Jesus. He says, for you are our glory. Hallelujah. For you are our joy. I want us to be bold to say that. That my father-in-law, one of those days, one of the stories that he told us, I had it from my wife. He said, everybody came to give testimony, all right? Everybody came to what a wonderful man of faith. He's going to be with the Lord now. All right. People came, this week I prayed and God helped my produce and I'd come to bless God. Hallelujah. This week I was facing some challenges and I prayed, God helped me, God helped me, hallelujah. But it was his time. To now come to give testimony. And I said, praise God. I have so many joy. And my testimony is this. Brother A is my testimony. Sister B is my testimony. Madam A is my testimony. Madam C is my... I was like, wow. Those are the true testimony. All right? Of lives. And they were sitting in church. All right? Those were people that they had gone to. It was not the pastor of the church. All right? It was just a floor member. But yet, he was pointing to Uncle A, Mr. B, Madam C, all right, that these are my testimonies, all right? And I've switched it up, all right, because the way he said, Mama, that is my testimony. Yeah, that is my testimony. That's the way he was saying it, all right? But then because those are the real joy, the real testimony, the crown that we have in heaven. I'm just trying to persuade us, all right, on this gospel that we have, this duty, this holy duty that we have, about preaching the gospel. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. The joy of the believer. The joy of the believer, all right, is souls, discipleship, men, lives that have been transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Look at this. He says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. Look at this. See what he called them. He says, my joy and my crown. Why was he saying that? He was the one that won them, quote unquote, won them, all right, to the Lord Jesus. He was the one who preached the gospel to them. He was the one who taught them the gospel. He was the one who, see, let me say this. You cannot win friends or people that you don't go after. You have to move. We're coming there now, because it don't expect people to come to you. We need to make the initiative, all right, and step out and go and teach someone about this gospel. See, all right, Paul, we saw him on his missionary trips, all right, he went to all of these places. Now this is Philippi, we've just read about Thessalonica, we've read about Ephesians, all right, or Ephesus, we've read about Rome. He went everywhere preaching. Now he's saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, my longed for brethren, my joy and my crown. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. He calls them my joy, my beloved, my joy, my crown. Hallelujah. Let's see some more. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Am I making sense to us at all today? All right? What are we trying to persuade ourselves in? About the champions, the stars of Christianity. All right? And what makes for that recognition, for that honor, for that regard, it is the fact that we have won so. So I want us to look at it in the last 3 months. Okay, maybe 3 months is too in this year. Okay, we just started the last 5 years. All right? Now, we said this yesterday. We are not about to bring a guilty conscience now. You know, see, God is a faithful father. He doesn't go around and say, you did not, you did, I won't now. Just start. All right? You know the story of the landlord that hired men to work in his vineyard. All right, so and he agreed to pay a certain percentage that will pay you £100, you know, for working. All right, and for working between 9 to 5:30, okay, I'll pay you. All right, but you know, some folks came in just 1 hour before. All right, just 1 hour before 5:30, they joined the what's it called? The workforce by 4:30. You know, he paid them the same. At times, that's not fair. All right? I mean, see, by the time you meet God, God is not a wicked God. He's just a loving father. Do you know how parents, how they treat their children? All right? God just wants us to do it. And, this salvation thing, believing is the easiest thing. All right, it brought the standard so low, such that you don't need to do step one, step two. Just from there, just move on. Believe. Just you don't even need to lift a finger. Just believe and say, Lord, I believe. That's all. Now, what can be easier? Maybe if I close my eyes and open it, maybe I'll be saved. But then it takes your mind and your mouth. Very simple. Now, again, see what he's saying here. All right, he's telling us that he wants us to just do it. So, yeah, what led us to that is we are not about to say, oh, you've not been doing it, then God will knock your head. No, that's not the point. The point, all that we are trying to do with this is just for us to start. Just start. Just take it upon yourself, all right, because that's what God expects from us. Amen. Look at Paul again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. We're going to take 2 later on, okay? He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation? Meaning, you are the evidence, you are the sign that we have served Jesus. All right, I want to ask you, who are those people? All right, now let let me tell you the way I was followed up. I'll tell you a quick story. I'll mention her name. Her name is Pastor Stella Kuforije, and another pastor, Shade. Then Falade at the time became Akintola. To two of them, they were sisters at the time before they became pastors. Once I hear their knock on my father's door, coming through the sitting room, I'd gone through the kitchen. I don't want to see them. I'd gone out. All right? But then, I guess maybe they were praying. I didn't want to listen to whatever they were saying. Oh, that was a teenager. I just want to, just let me be. All right? But I don't even know what happened. One day, on a Sunday morning, I don't know where I was coming from, Pastor Shade met me on the street. He is this boy. You need to serve Jesus. And that was all that she said. I said, I will come the next time. And this is the next time today. Praise God. That's all. All right? But then the way she now discipled me, every Sunday morning, he will come to my house. All right? Service will start. I don't know the time, maybe. But 30 minutes, he's already there. He's bringing me to church. All right? Don't say it's old school. That is how we disciple people. And we must do that on this island. People say, people don't listen. They will think I'm trespassing. Is that the excuse you're going to give to Jesus? Why not just try it first? We've prayed. God has prepared their hearts. All right? That will come to you. Sunday morning, we'll come to church together. And we'll learn God's word. And you will take them. So, Pastor Shade, bless her. Bless her. One of these days, by God's grace, he will come visiting. Amen. All right? And she prays every Wednesday. All right? And for 5 years, she will call me. Vigil. Then they call me. Come along, let's pray. Hi! So if you see me pray, I don't like talking about. But then, that's what I was taught. I was discipled. Hallelujah. So on. All right? And it will not be long, when you are priming a machine. It won't be long that I just caught the fire. All right? And I will sleep and God will appear and I will begin to see things in my dreams. Not scary things. Directions. All right? I told you of how in 2007, I don't want to go into all of those stories. All right? This is true. All right? It means that now that woman, she's... evidence to tomorrow, I owe her my salvation. Can I say that? I owe her that loyalty as the one that prayed for me. I prayed out so many things, and because she was elderly and she advised me, all right? We need to be there for people, particularly with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. She was a praying woman and she taught me to pray. All right. So it means what I'm saying is that it says you are our epistle. All right. Written in our heart, known and read by all men. Today now, I'm sure, all right, she's still preaching. She's still doing what she has done. Hallelujah. And I want us to do this. Amen. We are going to the same heaven. We're going to the same heaven. See, God doesn't have double standard. Okay, maybe for those that are in Jersey because they're busy, they are busy, right? Okay, and they do accounting. Is there accounting that you do? Praise God. All right. Oh, it's so busy. All right. And the standard is going to be different from those that are in Brazil. Now. Now. I got that from Isaac. Isaac, now. Isaac is influencing me. Eh? Where is that boy? Then now. No, the standard will be the same. Is what will be the standard? Hallelujah. Let's wrap up quickly. Champions of Christianity. Romans chapter 10, therefore. Let's just quickly begin to put this to an end. Romans chapter 10. Is it making sense to us, friends? Right. Now, what I'm saying is that we must take it upon ourselves. We must prioritize. You must go after people. We will go after men. We won't just leave them to, I don't want them to think, no. All right? Have you seen, praise the Lord, have you seen these people, Jehovah's Witness? Do you know how aggressive is the word that is coming? Dogged. All right? How do you know they have the highest conversion rate? And yet, we have the gospel without talking about them. We have the truth of God's word. We need to go after people. Of course, we do it well, in a civil way. We won't be rude and just step, you know, in people's space. But we will go after men. We will trust God for people. We will pray for them. See, every mankind, we have the same need. Every man, every one of us, Asian, American, European, African, give it all class. You know, we have the same, and every heart, the response to that need in Christ Jesus. We have Christ Jesus. We should go after men. Pray for people. Be present. Be there. Just make up our mind. All right? It makes for, it brings honor upon the man that does that. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13. Look at it. Pay attention, friends. Let's just read together. Thank you. Thank you. He says, for whoever, let's read this together. For now, when you see whoever, does he separate people? Maybe some men or some anybody. Anybody. All right. Now, these are the emphasis that I was taught as well. And it means anybody anywhere. All right, that will preach this gospel of our Lord Jesus. No, that we believe. But anyway, let's do it. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sure. But then the question will be, is a chain. Look at this. You know, we have this gospel chain, or maybe you call it food chain. All right, it's a cycle because it starts from something. He says, how then shall they call on whom they have not believed? Did you see? All right. Now, to call there, it's not just calling on Jesus. People call on Jesus, all right? Jesus, no. That call will be a call of faith, a call of belief, all right? But then, how shall they call on whom they've not believed, all right? Then it says, and how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Did you see the point? All right? So it's a chain. And look at that chain. What starts that chain? The preacher, right? Because if there's no preacher, there's no way they can hear. If they've not heard, there's no way they can believe. And if they've not believed, there's no way they can call. And if they've not called, there's no way they can be saved. So the process of, you know, of men believing, that process of salvation is very important, and it hinges on the preacher. Can we say, we can debate it, that the gospel is as important as the preacher? All right? Because the gospel without the preacher, we can, okay. But without the preacher, the gospel just stays there, not producing any results. So it means that the preacher, all right, must take the gospel that has the power to save and go about with people, all right? And appeal to men and be deliberate, intentional about winning soul. So the process starts with us to go about preaching the gospel. It is everyone's responsibility to teach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. All right? It is everyone's responsibility to preach this gospel of the Lord. Everybody, every one of us. Hallelujah. Mark 16, 15. Everybody, every one of us, praise God. Can we read this together, friends? So that we know the story, so I won't tell us the background. And Jesus said, that's it. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you see the point? He says, go into everywhere. Preach the gospel to everyone. That's the instruction that we have. All right? Hallelujah. All right? And don't wait for to say that, oh, I'm waiting for a vision. No. He sent us already. He gave us the command already. And we go preaching that gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. A growing believer, a growing Christian, is a missionary Christian. A growing, you know, a believer that is making progress, a superstar, a shining star, the champions of, you know, amongst us, they are the missionary Christian. Christians that are on a mission, on the mission with the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That is who the champion. So, you have, what's this called? I just keep in my mind now. Some expectations. All right, where you have met that, then you can be sure that they will promote you. They will promote you. Amen. All right, the expectation of God over our lives is clear. Go and preach the gospel. Meet this demand, then go and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. The local church, therefore, as we put all of this together, you know, the local church, therefore, is a place where believers are reminded and are trained to take up this divine responsibility. Right? Where else are we going to hear about this? The church is where we're going to be, you know, encouraged this way. Let's go for it. Let's preach the gospel. So a church that is not doing that, that church is malfunctioning. Right? The function of the church is to produce, to equip, let me use the word properly, all right? Equip people, believers, saints, for the work of the gospel. For the work of the ministry. And this is the ministry. This is service that we go about preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So it's a place where we remind ourselves, where we encourage ourselves, all right, to go about preaching the gospel, taking up this responsibility of preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a local church like ours, therefore, must be a place. We want a BHC. We are building a believer's household church where evangelism becomes the culture. That's what we want. Hallelujah. Where evangelism is the culture. Where discipleship is a lifestyle. All right? Where people have been discipled. Where people have been encouraged. Amen. Where people have been trained to listen. All right? And to follow the commandment of Jesus Christ. All right, where ministry becomes every believer's responsibility. It's not just for some few. That's what we're building. That's what the local church should be doing. Hallelujah. You know, I'll skip that quickly. All right, so ministry becomes every believer's responsibility, and the gospel becomes the center of everything that we do. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. All right, what is the believer's household church about? Right? What are we about? What is our vision? What are we up to? Because it's good as a team to clarify this to ourselves. All right? Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ must become the center of everything that we do. Hallelujah. So, friends, your devotion to the gospel, to this gospel, can set you apart. Your devotion to this gospel can make you a high flyer. Your consistency can earn you a shining star with God. All right? And your yieldedness, all right, can make you a star, can make you a champion with the Father. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, friends. There is a crown that awaits us when we meet Jesus. Like I said last week, that throne is not a throne of Io. I've got no throne. Maybe in my house. All right? No, and that doesn't come here. That stops there. All right? I like to clarify that. All right? But on that day, all right? One day, call it later. I don't want to use the words later. All right? One day, all of us will stand before that throne. What are you going to say? All right? Let's start at it today. Let's think, you know, we call it, you know, let's have this eternal perspective in mind. Let's invest in our eternity. I'm not talking about money, and so it's good to do that. Please do. All right? But at the end of the day, those money will stay here. All right? Oh, it will stay. Praise God. But that which will transcend from here and will go with you forever is your faith in the Lord Jesus and what you have done with that faith. So you want to help your brother, help your sister. All right? Ask him or her, what are you doing with the gospel of our Lord Jesus? Okay, maybe we should do that, actually. Let's ask, you know, just before we pray today, what are you doing with the gospel of our Lord Jesus? Or, Let's do it this way. What are you going to do with the gospel of our Lord Jesus? Yeah. What are you going to do with the gospel? Hallelujah. It's a question that we need to be asking ourselves every time. Again, something just came to mind as we are, when we're growing up as a believer, when we're a younger believer, when you meet other believer, they ask you, how's your Christian life? Is that not what, remember? Right? Maybe I'm the only host. How's your Christian life? All right? And by asking, they are not asking, they are particular. How's your Christian? Because they know there is academic life. They won't ask about how's your Christ, and what they were expecting there. How's your prayer? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? But now it became, where is he walking? Is he walking in Mobile? They sold a wrong narrative to us, and we must return to the right narrative. It is about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You want to just pray for yourself as we wrap up today. The Lord, I take your gospel more seriously. In the name of Jesus, I preach your gospel. I take it upon myself. I take it upon myself. All right, in the name of Jesus, I take up that responsibility. I take up that responsibility. Pray for yourself just 1 minute. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I will not be quiet about this. I won't make excuses. No excuse is valid enough. In the Lord, you will help me. You will help me, Lord, to just do what is required. You know, I said it the other day. All right, a man that has not gone to the farm to sow a seed, when the time of harvest comes, there's no excuse that will be enough to give him a produce. All right, he has not planted. There's nothing to harvest. But Lord, help me, Lord Jesus. Lord, to do well with your gospel, not to be afraid, not to be timid, in the name of Jesus. And I don't allow guilty conscience or self-condemnation. No. I just pick it up from now. I just start from now, and I begin to do well every day, every week, every month. I do something about the gospel. I do well with your gospel, Lord. I do very well with this gospel. Thousands and thousands of men. Oh, on my account. On my account. Ella led us to pray on, was that Friday or Saturday? That on my account, there will be joy. There will be joy. There will be joy. Because I will preach this gospel to many people. In the name of Jesus. I will preach this gospel to thousands of, through me. On my account, there will be joy. I will shine like a star forever and ever. God sees me as wise. I'm a wise man in that I preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Pray for yourself some more seconds. Just pray, please. Just commit yourself to Jesus. Lord, I pray I'll do well with your gospel. I'll do well with the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.